Oh, I have to pee.
Our back. Get on the water. Place your friend and speed the first back to the boat.
Oh no.
Is there anywhere to pee in these things?
Position of the game.
Whoa! Hey! Anyone out there?
Oh, I wish I could talk to Loki.
Trip? Hun?
Pascal?
Come on, Trip.
Pascal!
You don't have to be out there. I don't know what I'd do.
Stars, my pants are in danger. No, no more water sounds. Real close. We're in verge of disaster here. Okay.
Is it finally over?
Do there have to be so many water noises in that ad? This is cosmic payback for arguing with Woe over the set list. And for how much time I've spent on the Row 12 app, that wasn't very chill of me. I'm never gonna play that game again, I swear.
Hello? Hello, can anyone hear me? This is Pascal Almagest, passenger on Plutonic Flight 999.
From Brady Entertainment and you, it's Rose Well, the latest edition of the game you know and love. Unleash your inner ancient Earth athlete in Row 12. All your favorite rowers.
Ground control, send me down. I'm lost up here and I can't be found. Ground control. Are you there? The voice in my head, it fills the dead air, says you've got time, you've got time. You've got time, you've got
Maker, a science fiction podcast, episode 3, more popular than populous.
36, 35, 34.
What is that countdown?
32.
Can you hear me?
31.
I suppose 30, not.
29.
What happens when the countdown reaches zero?
27.
Did someone plant a bomb somehow? My escape pod? Or is this what the latest advertisement algorithms have come up with?
22.
I was not briefed for this. I was not briefed for any of this.
20.
19, stars, keep it together, Kusa.
18.
The next logical step would be to contact my superiors.
16.
Request backup and rescue.
15. 14.
Lumps. No signal.
13. 12. 11.
It's...
10.
It is almost at zero.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh.
60, 59, 58. Oh. Excuse me? Hello?
Hi! Yes, you can hear me now. Who is this?
This is Trip.
Trip, I am so sorry. I did not recognize your voice when you were counting. Why were you counting?
Kusa, is that you?
Yeah, this is Kusa. I am still in one piece.
Glad to hear it. Have you heard from Pascal?
No. No, I am so sorry, Trip. I have not heard from them.
That's... I'm sure they're fine.
Me too.
They have to be. Fine.
Sorry, Trip.
It's not your fault. It's really hard to get in contact with anybody. I've looked for a control panel or anything. I'm a mechanic back home on EE Station, so... But there's nothing. Just a 3D scanner, which is how ship knows we're in here, I guess. If I brought my phone, I might be able to connect it to something, but I paid too much attention to those security announcements, I suppose. You know, the ones saying to leave everything behind and save yourself first. So I left it behind. And now we're all just in the dark here. I actually did get in contact with another pod, an actual other person, not an ad for a bit earlier, but it was random, I think. And then we lost each other. So I figure the only thing to do is to keep talking, since a signal could be gained or lost at any moment, and I never know who I'm going to hear or who can hear me. That way I don't lose a second of contact.
Is that why you were counting?
Yeah.
To make sure you would be heard.
Yeah.
You know, it would have been a lot less alarming if you had been counting up instead of down.
Sorry about that. It helps me remember where to stop if I count down. Otherwise, I think I'd just keep going up and up. Stars, Kuza, I just remember this is your first time in space, isn't it? Please, excuse me for forgetting. When you and me and Pascal were talking at dinner the first night of the flight, you said...
Yeah. Well, this is not technically my first time in space, but it is, sort of.
Sort of?
This flight is not the first leg of my journey. I started from Tond, but yeah, this is basically my first time in space. The explosion and escape pods, though. This is not exactly the start to my wander that I had imagined.
Gosh, not at all. Though, I shouldn't pretend I know what I'm talking about. EE Station was mostly humans. Not too many Gnonio. We get some passing through every now and then, but they were always in groups. Never alone. I never really got the chance to have in-depth conversations with them. That's probably my own fault.
You can talk to people who are traveling with their group, you know.
I know. I just get anxious. Even around other humans. Like I said, that's entirely my fault. Sorry, that was a self-centered thing to say.
If you want, I can tell you about Wanders now. We have to pass the time somehow.
Sure. I would appreciate that.
Much nicer than counting.
Yes.
Well, a wander is pretty much the only time you are alone. Your wander is when you leave the group you grew up with, the one that raised you, and find a new one to join as an adult.
How old are you?
What?
Oh, sorry, that might be a rude question. I don't mean you specifically. I mean, like, when someone starts their wander, how old are they?
Oh, of course. A wander begins when it feels right.
When it feels right?
Yeah. Wow, I have never explained this to someone before. Okay. Humans use scientific time for most things, right? Seconds, minutes, hours. Whereas we mostly operate on social time. The time it takes for things to grow slowly or for someone to become hungry or tired. Social time is not so precise. I mean, no one is counting how many sleeps or eats someone has had before they go on a wander. There is nothing magic about your 4,000th sleep that makes you somehow a different person than you were during your 3,999th. And It all goes back to our planet's rotations, you know? Earth spins very quickly, so a person does not have to move at all to see darkness turn to light, and it is easy to divide and divide until you have seconds and pilot's licenses on your 18th birthday. Tant takes the same amount of time to complete one rotation as it does to orbit our sun. So, on Tant, the sun never moves in the sky. It is in a fixed position. And if you stay in the same place, nothing changes. So you move, we move. Groups never stay in the same place for long, and then, when it feels like you're ready to move on from the group you have lived and traveled with your whole life, you do. And you wander on your own for a while. There are no time limits for any of it. Some Genonu never stop wandering.
Really?
Yes. Well, lifelong wanderers are rare, and it is certainly not something I would want to do, but they do exist.
So, it's a feeling? Knowing when to start on your wander?
A feeling, but also an action. It happens when a person has changed and grown. Sometimes the person it has happened to is the last one to know, but it becomes clear they do not fit the way they used to.
How do you know when you're ready?
Well, for me, one wake I just knew I could not fetch one more drink for one more actor. My birth group, they worked on movie sets, doing logistics. It was not a bad way to grow up at all. I met all sorts of people and learned a lot about them.
That explains how you know so much about scientific time.
Oh, yes, exactly that. But I wanted to see something real, you know? After all the film sets and the pretend worlds.
Yeah, sometimes EE Station felt a bit like that. A pretend world. It literally was constructed. Not natural, but... yeah.
I understand, Trip. But you should know, what I said is a me answer. It is different for everyone. And yet, here I was, so excited to see those constructed worlds. I was going to go see Sirius Revel 6, I was going to feel the music vibrate through my whole body, and now, I really wanted to go to Earth and try your, standing on a wave in the ocean.
Surfing?
Surfing. It looks so fun. How do you keep your balance?
You'll have to excuse me, because I'm not the person to ask. I've never really been to Earth.
Really?
Well, I mean, I was born on Earth, but we moved to EE when I was 3. I haven't left the tiny hunk of metal that is EE Station since then.
Oh, wow, a true spacer.
Funny you should say that. I never feel like one. Since usually spacers have, well, spent significant time on spaceships.
What made you decide to leave the station?
Same as you, I suppose. It felt like the time. Pascal and I wanted to see the Revel. We thought a vacation was in order. Long overdue, really. Pascal actually was on the team that just discovered that new cancer treatment. You might have heard of it. They're way too humble to say anything. But you know, I'm happy to brag for them, and the project just finished up, so it was time for a celebration. Ah!
Adjusting attitude thruster. Stabilizing. Air. Nominal. Pressure. Nominal. Temperature. Nominal.
What was that?
Trip, are you all right?
I bumped something. The pod bumped something. There's something out there.
No, there should be nothing.
What?
I said I heard it. How are you doing?
Hello, Pod 1. Sorry about the slight turbulence. We had a minor encounter with some debris, but everything is A-okay now.
Yeah, I'm fine. All in one piece. I don't feel anything else out there. I wish there was a window.
I doubt we would be able to see much anyway.
Yeah, but... well, I suppose there's nothing for it but to sit tight until rescue. I just want to be useful. I wish I could do something.
The group elders do say to expect the unexpected during your wander. In seriousness, though, Trip, you said you are a mechanic?
I am. Yes.
And that you could maybe do something with connecting your phone to the pod?
Yes.
I brought my phone.
Why didn't you say so earlier?
Sorry, I should have. There is so much happening, and I am not the best with technology, and...
No, I should be apologizing. I'm sorry if I got you excited about it. I don't even think it'll work, given all the interference, but I don't know.
I want to try. Please, let me help.
Okay. If you can find the 3D scanner and remove it, you should be able to hook up your phone there. With the physical connection, the pod should recognize it, and then the two outgoing comm signals could combine. It might be enough to get a message out. I mean, without a surge protector, it's really not good for the micro black hole tech in your phone in the long run, but given the situation, there's a chance. Kuza? Did you get that? Kuza?
Until it arrives at the planet Earth. Oskanu looks out the window. They see Earth's dark oceans and bright forests below. The door opens, and the noise of the spaceport bounces into the spaceship. Oskanu's ear starts to twitch. They are nervous. They have never been to Earth before. Oskanu hugs their group elder, who says, "We are behind you and around you, little one, and you will not be left behind." Most of the group adults have a meeting with an Earthco, so the caretaker takes Oskanu and their cohort to play in a park. At the park, Oskanu meets their friend Nisha. They've met Nisha on videos before, but never in person. Nisha is a human from Earth! The corners of Nisha's mouth go up when she sees Oskanu. This is a smile, the caretaker explains, and it means that Nisha is happy. Oskanu puts on a lingchip to understand Nisha. Nisha is wearing one, too. Nisha is a girl, and people use the words she and her to refer to her. Humans have several different genders. Long ago, they were not allowed to pick their gender, but now they can. Oskanu's lingchip handles all the translation for them, and if Nisha ever changes her gender, Oskanu can just let their lingchip know. For more about human gender, listen to Oskanu Meets Nisha's Family. For now, the adventure continues in Oskanu Goes to Earth. Nisha and her friends are playing a ball game. They invite Oskanu to join them. Oskanu plays on Nisha's team. This game is not so different from mountain polo. Oskanu notices lots of new things on Earth. The sun, Sol, is bright and yellow, and it moves across the sky during the ball game. Oskanu has a strange feeling that they should be dizzy. They feel like they have traveled very far, even though they are still in the same park.
That's a new sound there. Are you another intercepted radio signal? Or one of those folks from the rock band?
Oh!
Take it easy there.
Pascal Almagest, Pod 2, Plutonic 999. Dr. Go, is that you?
You can just call me Noh, Pascal.
No, I'm so glad to hear your voice.
Likewise.
Have you heard from Trip?
Sorry, dear. The AI hasn't seen fit to put me in contact with your husband.
Oh.
Have you heard from the kid?
What kid?
There was a kid on board, too. A stowaway. I don't know if they made it to the pods.
I haven't heard from any kids, sorry.
They'll turn up. For someone so often distracted, they have a strong survival instinct. Pascal, you want to know something? I'd be very surprised if Trip wasn't doing just fine. Very calm in the crisis, that one.
He hasn't left EE since he was barely able to talk, and he definitely hasn't ever been trapped in an escape pod in the middle of interstellar space.
Doesn't matter. He can handle it. I can tell these things. You, though.
How can you tell these things?
Oh, I am old, Pascal. And I've been around the Terminator. I see things. I see the way you look at the hull like you're expecting it to burst. How you jump a little every time there's an announcement over the comms. You're a bit on edge the entire time on the light flight. Easy diagnosis. Scared of space. Common.
Well, you can't say the fear was unfounded. Now we're probably gonna die in these pods.
You start talking like that, you're as good as dead already.
Seriously, no. An escape pod is hardly a death sentence usually. There's air enough that people can stay alive in them for days. Just think of that survivor from the Phalanx. They were floating a long time. It'd be better if these arseholes at Plutonic had actually thought to stock the pod with any food and water, but that's not even the real problem. The real problem is the lack of comms. We don't stand a chance without comms. We need comms to tell rescue we're out here at all and to give them our location. Without comms, what's probably happening is that once Plutonic 999 failed to make its next ping to space traffic control, they wasted time trying to hail it for a while before sending someone to its last known coordinates, which again would be fine if we could talk to these rescuers, but since we can't, our pods were flung away from the explosion at an incredible speed, and with nothing to slow them down, we're going to Newton's first law ourselves very far, very fast. We already have. Every second, we're flung further away from the explosion site. Do you have any clue just how insanely huge space is? Of course you don't. I don't either, really. It is unimaginably big. It's so empty that when two galaxies collide, there's almost no chance of any of the stars actually hitting each other because there's so much space in between them. You'd have better luck trying to find a pebble in Earth's oceans than a single solitary commsless pod out here. What an illusion of safety, of community our comms are. We cheat distance by sending EM waves through Zhug's micro-black hole tech, but just block the waves and you reveal just how alone we really are.
Are you done with your poetry?
Well, I'd like to say goodbye to my husband before I die, but lament pushing for this stupid holiday in the first place, but other than that, yeah.
Have you ever been to Barnett Star, Pascal?
What? No?
There's a moon in that system called Saint-Exupéry. Saint-Exupéry is home to a species of plum that screams if there's a fire. Well, really, it's cavitation. Air bubbles expanding in the xylem and causing a vibration, but it's essentially screaming. There's an animal that makes its home in the plant. And when the plant screams, it alerts the animal to the danger of the fire. So the animal carries its home away from the fire with it. Classic symbiosis. I've heard the screams and samples of this plant that we've synthesized from surface expedition data. Leave no trace, following AAA, all that. Anyway, it is the eeriest sound, I tell you. Oh, I think it's in your human range of hearing.
If you're trying to craft a reassuring metaphor, I just said we can't scream because...
Pascal, I'm telling you this because you and Trip were telling me, back on the flight, about that time you helped out during that fire on EE Station. And I thought this plant might make a good addition to those garden rooms you were telling me about, that you two take care of. If you ever expand them beyond Earth and Tond Flora, that is. That's all. There's very little you and I can do right now, Pascal. I do hear you, I do. But there's no sense in panicking. Might as well take the time to tell stories we'd meant to share earlier, but hadn't gotten around to yet. Oh, I miss Saint-Exupéry.
I don't get you.
That's fine. You don't have to. And the leaves from this plant can be used to make this incredibly soothing tea. And I think you could use some right now. You know, I run a business selling rare plants. I could hook you up.
I'd rather not talk about the future.
That's all right.
Do you have some of this tea with you right now?
No. I've got a bottle of gin. Earth alcohol made from Juniperus communis.
I know what gin is.
It was a gift from a long time ago.
If you've hung on to it so long, it must be from someone you care about.
From someone I really looked up to. We were supposed to drink it together.
Do you think now's the time to drink it?
Not yet. Pascal, would you tell me a story? Something about your research, maybe?
You're the one with all the good stories.
You're not too shabby yourself. Just young. Are you considering going to grad school?
I am, actually. But, like I said, the future.
Right. My apologies. Well, it's a place you pick up all sorts of stories, that's for certain.
Story. So, the last project I was on was Nevermore's new cancer treatment. The details of that are under all sorts of NDAs, I'm sure you can imagine. Though, now that the product is on the market, I can at least say I was involved.
Yes. I heard about the discovery. And I know how biomed codes are. I'm widely curious why an astronomer was needed, but I don't want you to get in trouble.
You'd be surprised how relevant knowledge of atmospheric nucleation on a molecular level can be.
Seriously? Don't tell me anything I shouldn't know.
Sure. Okay, well... Well, I study atmospheric dynamics on gas giants. My last paper was on the longevity of the storm systems on Aiger, which is just past the first asteroid belt around EE. I forget if you've been. Well, its orbit is retrograde, so there's a theory that it used to be free-floating. Anyway, there's been this high-pressure anticyclonic storm.
Talk about the time with the power tools.
Darcy, commercial break's over. Welcome back, 6EQ listeners. I'm Omped Crew, and this is...
What up, Spacers? It's Darcy Fleet.
And we're here live at Sirius Spa and Station Resort for Sirius Revel 6.
The biggest.
The baddest.
The boldest.
Battle of the bands for 100 light years.
With crowd favorite Nalska in the judges' booth this time around... Who do you think's gonna win the trophy, Omped?
Don't forget about the Make Make record deal, Darce. I don't know, a lot of these newcomers are looking really strong. Like Barnard Star Coffee level strong.
I know, right? Like, who even needs Blur? What about the wild cards about gardens?
Well, you know the wild cards never win.
I don't know, Omped. I think their story is so inspiring. They're just like regular folks. Like, they're even flying plutonic. If they can make it here... Anyone can.
Exactly. We'll see soon enough if they've got more than luck.
Come on, Omt. You gotta love an underdog.
You got me there, Dars. Stay tuned for more 6EQ exclusives like...
interviews with the bands.
Chats with the fans.
And the latest hits all the way up to... Serious Rebel 6.
Oh my stars, man, holy hell. Darcy Fleet? Omt Crew? We were... Whoa, they... About Gardens. Us, you, me, on 6EQ? And they called us wild cards. Underdogs. Everybody loves an underdog. You and me, man, going from downtrodden and brushed aside the forgotten dregs of the solar system's... booking every afternoon pub gig we could, now poised to go toe-to-toe with the giants and start our meteoric rise to become the darlings of the galaxy. Our names spoken by the sacred mouths of Darcy Fleet and Omt Crew. Underdogs! Oh, no such thing as bad press, am I right? Our name is out there. I'm your Super Casanova, I outshine the galaxy. Super Casanova, Super Casanova. Just the first impression. Just as soon as we get there, come on, rescue. Where's that button again? Aha! How's it looking, ship darling? Looking like rescue anytime soon?
The exit is sealed for your safety.
Naturally, naturally. I know you're still working to fix everything, but... you think you could catch 6EQ's frequency again? I used to listen to them all the time growing up. It's like comfort food.
The exit is sealed for your safety.
That's all right, that's all right. Take your time. I'm just... kind of impatient to talk to Woe, you know. They, I'm sure they could really use a hug just about now.
The exit is sealed for your safety.
All right, ship, all right.
The exit is
what?
Sealed. The exit, 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 the exit,
the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the exit, the sing it exit, with me, ship.
The exit, the exit,
for your
the
safety.
Exit, the exit.
It's
the
too dark and cool.
In
what?
Accordance with emergency what? Protocol, we are
what?
Now entering orbit.
You said something else. You said something else, and it made no sense at all. And whoops! So much for these pants.
Thank you for listening to Rogue Maker. This episode, More Popular Than Populous, was written by Emma Johanna Purinen and directed by Rook Mogavero and Emma Johanna Purinen. The script was edited by Rook Mogavero and Shione C. White. Sound editing was by Emma Johanna Purinen and William R. Coughlin. Original music was composed by Emily Branham, who also sings our theme song. Our cover art is by Tatiana Arkdander. In order of appearance, this episode featured the voices of...
Omar Camps Cameron as Loki Madigan.
Bonnie Calderwood Aspinwall as Pascal Almagest.
Samuel S. Noko.
Alexandra Rose DeAngelis as Woh Olum.
Exandri Oji as Valencio Trip Triptych.
Liz Mori as Kusat Vask.
And Emma Johanna Purinen as Ship. This episode also featured Artemis Eels as Row 12 Commercial.
Julia Lynn Barnes as Kanonu Children's Book Narrator.
Ishani Kanikar as Darcy Fleet.
and
Christopher Wilson as Omped Crew.
Additional voices were lent by William R. Coughlin, Anna Coughlin, and Joshua Matuszewski. Last but not least, our vibe checker was... For transcripts and more, check out our website, roguemaker.space. If you're ready to unleash your inner Ancient Earth athlete and support Roguemaker, please consider rating and reviewing us on your podcatcher of choice. You can also follow at RoguemakerPod on Twitter and Instagram, or tell a friend about us. Until next episode, take care of each other and stay safe out there. Stay tuned to hear a trailer for another show you'll love.
This is Stella Thomas.
Hi, I'm Stella Thomas.
Stella Thomas had been living in her little world for 27 years, and Stella did not know it yet, but that world was about to come crashing down all around her.
Wait, what?
Your world wasn't real.
So Earth just doesn't exist?
Who was she in the absence of everything she'd ever known?
We're garbage collectors.
So you used me so that you could get back onto a garbage collection ship?
Yeah.
Lost and confused, Stella joined the crew of the Starship Raccoon, which left her even more lost and confused.
I have no friends and no feelings, but I do have knowledge.
I am the writer and editor of the ship's best and only weekly newspaper. The next one is the swimsuit edition, in which I try on and then review various swimsuits.
Oh, a kitty!
Oh, a bitch!
Your cat talks.
Your human talks.
I'm a snail.
Strong Branch Productions presents a sci-fi comedy that will leave you asking, why? What does it all mean?
So, hypothetically, what would you say if I accidentally got the crew involved in something illegal?
I would say, did you?
I wish I could do math.
You're an android puppet. You're made of math.
Yes, but I don't like to think about it.
You all might die.
How would we all die?
Fire.
Possibly fire.
Welcome to the Benevolent Robots Corporation. We make robots that are good and definitely not evil.
I am a wealth of knowledge, you insolent little meat sack!
I will piss in every shoe you've ever owned.
This crew is a nightmare I can never wake from.
There was a seed inside her, and that seed was this. Why not fuck around and see what happens?
I'm freer than I've ever been. I take it all back.
The Stench of Adventure, Season 2, coming to a device near you in Spring 2022. For more information, or just to say hi, visit our website at www.strongbranchproductions.com. Join our Discord community, follow our Twitter at StrongBranchPro, or email us at contact@strongbranchproductions.com.
Oh, it's called marketing, sweetheart. Get with it or get out of town.
If you call me sweetheart again, I'll claw out your liver.